we come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled, I Know Whom I Have Believed, a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through 1 and 2 Timothy. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
Well, Lord, we thank you, Father. We thank you that we live in a world that's full of confusion, and yet here we are in the center of your will. Father, we know that you have this all. It has not caught you by surprise. So many things caught me by surprise this morning, but it has not caught you by surprise. And Lord, we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, that you would be the one that we look to, Lord. I pray for the peace that surpasses all understanding to keep our hearts and minds in you, Christ Jesus. I pray, Father, for a confidence in you. I pray, God, that for a fresh anointing by the power of your Holy Spirit. We love you, Lord. We praise you. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. My friend and I are doing something. We decided whenever we get talking to each other, we complain. Does anybody else have a friend like that? That's the first thing you do. I know I can complain with this person, and this person will complain right back. And after we're done, we're fine. We haven't, you know. So we decided, okay, we are going to text each other every day whatever verse the Lord gives us for that day. Just text the verse to the other person. No commentary, nothing. Just text the verse and share that verse with the other person. And it has been going so good. And the first verse that the Lord gave me to send to her was because of all of the, you know, we can get so involved politically or whatever. It was in Acts, it was Acts 1:8. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power to become my witnesses. And the question is, who am I witnessing for during this time? And so we really, I really enjoy that, and I encourage you to do that with a friend of yours as well, if you can. So my daughter, no, she's not my daughter. She is my granddaughter, though. Emmy, the one with the short hair that led in worship this morning, she told me that I could share this. She put this on her Instagram story. We were over at their house the other day, and she was doing some essays. She had six essays due. It's her first year of college. It's six essays all due on the same day. So she's feverishly working at it. And so while we were there, she came out for a few moments and we said hello. And, you know, we greeted each other and everything. And then she went back to work. That night on her Instagram, this is what she put up. It's always refreshing to open my Bible. She's 18 years old, by the way. It's always refreshing to open my Bible, especially at the end of a long day. But recently, I found it's more restorative than ever because I never have to guard my head from the information and ask, is this true? There's so much fake news out in the world today, and it's exhausting to be constantly required to feel skeptical of everything I read. So opening up and satisfying my soul with objective, unapologetic truth is absolutely needed. Here's a reminder, she writes. Read your Bible today. Flip to a random chapter. Pick your favorite number and read that psalm. Feed your soul, because I believe there's a lot of us who have been starving for the word without knowing it. There are a number of us who have been starving for the word without knowing it. This is an 18-year-old, and I am so thankful that this has come down through our family, the importance of the word, the importance of being in the word, the importance of loving the word, the importance of knowing Jesus as your Savior, the importance of walking in his ways. How do I find out what his ways are that I walk in? I am in his word. I am reading his word. I'm memorizing his word. And during this time that we have, we can do that. Now that we are, we'll be doing less shopping, I guess. We'll have time to do some things. And so please pick up your either online or on the website in person the scripture writing program that we have. We've got some out there printed, so be sure to pick them up today if you're here. And use that every day for December and write those down and see what God will do with that. We should have plenty of time during this, whatever it is that we're in. So this week is Thanksgiving, and however you celebrate it, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. That's what I'm thankful for. Above everything else, I am thankful that he gave Jesus Christ, his Son. And as we look toward Christmas, and they're saying, well, we can't have any Christmas this year. I know we talked about it last week. There will be Christmas every year. Every year we will remember that Jesus Christ was born on what we celebrate as Christmas. And this is a good reminder to us that it's about Jesus. It's not about Whoville. It's not about the beast, the roast beast. It's not about all the toys and all of the gifts and all of the things. It's about Jesus. Of course, in Whoville, it was just about being together. But they need Jesus in Whoville. I'm just saying, did you hear that? They need Jesus in Whoville if they're going to celebrate Christmas properly. So anyway, we give thanks for his Son. We have so much to be thankful for. And this week, use the time that you would have been doing your homework and go to a concordance. And some of you probably have them in the back of your Bible. And write down all of the verses that have to do with thankfulness. Being thankful, thankfulness, thanking. And just get those into your heart and into your mind. So, write down what we're thankful for, because we are more blessed than we deserve, for sure. And so, we get into chapter 4, and as always, we find that Paul is talking about being thankful. For all the things that he's gone through, all the things he's going through, he is thankful. And so we move into, your Bibles are open, I'm sure, and he says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. Here we are again. We are in the last days, ladies. We are in the last days. What does that mean to be in the last days? We are in the last days before Jesus Christ comes back for his church. We are in the last days before the rapture of the church. What is the rapture of the church? Oh my goodness, what does that mean? That means that there will come a day when Jesus says, come up here. Come up here. It's in 1 Thessalonians. Come up here. And we will be with him. And we will be like him, because we will see him as he is. Our time here is so short. For some of us, it's shorter than others. Maybe we will go to see Jesus before the rapture. But I am convinced that the rapture is any moment. Any moment. Any second. That we will be here. We will be with him. And we need to keep our sights on that. Why do I want to go to be with Jesus? Because that's what I was made for. He loves me, and he loves you, and he wants to live wants us to have eternal life with him. And so, Remember, these are the last written words from Paul. He knows maybe God's told him, this is it. This is going to be the last time that we're going to be together, or you're going to get a chance to be together with Timothy. And he knows that he might not see Timothy again, and yet I think from this letter, he's convinced that he will see Timothy at least one more time. So what is he doing when he's writing this to Timothy? When I sent my daughter off to a four-year college, as we pulled away from the college the day that she moved in, I remember saying out loud, have I prepared her well enough for what's before her? Timothy is being prepared by Paul for what was before him. He will be prepared for the rest of his life. Paul will give him all he has to give. He will write it down to him. He will remind him. He will warn him. He will encourage him. He will tell him, stay in the way. Stay in the way that you know. He will continue to share with him. But there will come a time when Paul will no longer be there and only the letters will be left. And Timothy will need to refer to those letters because he can't ask a question about, well, did you mean this, or this is happening, or whatever. Paul has been a mentor to him. He's been there, and he has that sense of urgency to warn Paul or Timothy of these things that are about to happen. The important thing to remember as we finish up these letters is that this is not only Paul's written word. This is the word of God. It is Holy Spirit inspired. It is the Holy Spirit who spoke the words as Paul wrote them. And so he writes them down. It is a message from God for Paul. For these guys, they just have the wrong names for me today. I'm going to call them somebody Steve or something. I'm sure of it before I get through with all of this. So he has that. It's led by the Holy Spirit. Hang on to that and know that this word of God is Holy Spirit inspired. This whole Bible is Holy Spirit inspired. If you want to argue with that, argue with God about that. Because he said, this is my word. And it is written down for you to learn from. And so we started with seeing the coming of the Lord. We are nearer than the day that we first believed. And then we go on in verse 2, and he says, preach the word. Preach the word. Don't preach this. Don't preach that. Don't preach that other thing. Preach the word of God. Use illustrations if you must, but teach the word of God. Teach or preach the word of God. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Preach the word. The word preach means, as we've said before, to herald publicly. To herald publicly. Convince means to correct false doctrine. Correct false doctrine. This word has the sense of motivating the listener to confession or conviction of sin. Motivating the listener to confession or conviction of sin, helping them to understand that what they're doing is wrong. The word of God will direct us. It will teach us. It will show us the way that we should go. The word exhort, and it says that we are to rebuke. And the word rebuke is a pronouncement of reproof or blame that requires humility and repentance. A word of rebuke or blame that requires repentance. Humility requires humility and repentance. Exhort means to remind a person of what they have been taught already, what they know to be truth, in order to influence them to act on it. To exhort someone is to take what you know that they've already been taught and encourage them to use it. Use the word of God. Use the word of God in your life. What do you know? What have you learned? And this can go from just, you can do it. You can do it. To get up and get doing it. It goes from one extreme to the other. Okay, hang on, you can do this. On the other one is, it's time for you to get up and do it. Come on, come on, come on. Now is the day of salvation. Come on, come on, come on. I got to tell you a story. This is so, so, so exciting. A friend of mine, her dad was dying, and her heart's desire is that she would know that her father was going to go to be with Jesus. She didn't have any evidence of that. And I remember praying specifically that the Lord would save him and that he would give my friend, although that it was between this man and God, that God would give my friend some evidence that her father had accepted Christ before he died, just as a comfort to her. She called me, and she said, I got up and I read this scripture this morning, and it said, today is the day of salvation. She said, in my heart, I knew that that was God telling me that that was my father had just now accepted the Lord. He has been in an induced coma, I think it is. And she was so comforted by that, and we talked about it, and I said, I know that this happened during the time that nobody else knows about. This is a word between you and God because of his love for you. He wanted you to have that proof that, yes, your dad is with him. And so that very day, her dad went to be with the Lord. That very day. Isn't it good how God directs us to use what we know, encourage us to go in that way, and then we get moving in it. So to exhort someone for that. The Greek verb used here is parakaleo. Parakaleo. Okay, go ahead, you spell it. It's all right. You don't have to use it, though. It's related to the noun parakletos. Have you heard the word parakletos? Parakletos is the Greek word that's used for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes alongside, and that's what it is to be with someone, to come alongside of someone, and to exhort them, encourage them along the way. Literally means to be called alongside to help someone. In other words, after you've corrected someone or rebuked them, you need to come alongside them in love, encouraging them to apply what they've learned. We all need to remember to apply what we've learned. It's not enough to read the directions for the ointment that you're supposed to put on. You must apply it if it's to do its work. Correct? Yes. Okay. Timothy was to be ready in season and out of season to share God's word. How can we be ready at all times? There's no time like the present. The Amplified Bible says on this particular verse, keep your sense of urgency. I love this. Keep your sense of urgency. Be at hand and ready, whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, whether it will be welcome or unwelcome. You keep the sense of urgency no matter what the situation. No matter what the situation, you keep the sense of urgency. Do you take advantage of the opportunities God gives you throughout the day? Yeah, me too. Sometimes. Sometimes. But not always. Taking advantage of those opportunities that God gives us. I don't know if I even have it in my notes, but I had a bad day this week. And if you don't mind if I share it with you, can I be personal for a minute? What are you going to do? I'm going to say it anyway. I love it when people do that from the pulpit. Do you mind if I share this? Okay, nobody minds. Okay. I had a really bad day. I just couldn't get my mind off of things that were going on, and I was frustrated, and I just didn't want to talk to anybody, didn't want to see anybody. I just want to hurt somebody. I've got a card that says, I do yoga, I eat my greens, I do my protein, and I still want to slap somebody. So that's kind of how I felt. And with that, I told Bill, I'm going to the grocery store. He said, well, what are you getting? I go, a turkey. And it was like, okay, get a turkey. So I went out the door, and I got into the store, and I got my turkey first thing. And then as I walking through the store, I realized, I don't know what I'm getting in here. I got my turkey. What else am I? But I'm going to wander through the aisles. And so as I wandered through the aisles, I got into the frozen food department. Details, we women, details. In the frozen food department, I'm standing there looking at something with that look of, that's a lot of stuff in there. And a lady came alongside me, and she goes, that's a lot of stuff in there. And I said, hi, how's your day? You know, I thought the same thing when I came into the store. She said, I came in, and I kind of knew what I was coming in for, but now as I'm walking through the aisles, I have no idea why I'm in here. And so we have this little conversation. We start laughing together. Other people have come along now and are joining in the frozen food department, and they're trying to get to where we're at. And we laughed, and we talked about what we have to be thankful for, all the wonderful things we have to be thankful for. I told her, you know, people don't talk to each other now that we have these masks on. We don't look at each other. We just go past each other. We pretend like the other person isn't there, or maybe they just don't see me. And it so encouraged me. It so strengthened me. And as that woman walked away, she's laughing. So now I've encouraged her. She's encouraged me in the grocery store in the frozen food aisle. We weren't inside in church. We were in the frozen food aisle of a grocery store. Can we encourage each other in that way? Wherever we're at, taking advantage of those opportunities. And so, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they want to hear everything that's new under the sun. They will heap up for themselves teachers. They'll find somebody that teaches what they want to hear. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. They'll be turned aside to a story. And so you want to tell them the truth, but they don't want to believe the truth. They want something else that suits them better. And so they find somebody who suits them better. They want to turn away from the truth. They want just stories. Stories, things that make them feel good about themselves. How many times have, well, that's a whole nother bit. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And you know from last chapter that it said that false teachers would have their time shortened. Persecution of the church was becoming more and more severe. In this time, it was becoming more and more severe, and they needed to pray. So we see those false teachers who are not willing to endure or tolerate sound doctrine. False teachers are not willing to endure or tolerate sound doctrine. They settle for fables. Sound doctrine is often catches us off guard and says, you are messing up. Sound doctrine often will catch us and say, you are messing up. What do we do when we're messing up? Repent. Confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And so, verse 5, but you, be watchful. What does it mean to be watchful? We've talked about it before. To be a watchman on the wall says that you are to warn people. You are to be there as a lookout for false things that are coming or for danger that's coming. We are to be watchmen on the wall. Timothy was to be a watchman in all things. He tells him you are to endure afflictions. In this world, you are going to have tribulation. And it isn't any less because you're a pastor or because you're a teacher or because you're some kind of leader. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. We are all called to do the work of an evangelist. It's used in relation to The word evangelize is used in relation to the call of every Christian to be a witness of Christ and proclaim the gospel to a dying world. We all have a responsibility to share the good news of salvation and to do the work of an evangelist. Well, I'm not an evangelist, and I don't know how to talk to people about that. Have you ever been talking to somebody, and you've been praying beforehand, just in your regular routine, you've been praying, and all of a sudden you're talking to this person, and you're coming up with scriptures you didn't know that you knew. You're saying things that you didn't know that you knew, but God worked through you by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the dunamis. That is the power of the Holy Spirit that has come upon you, that has given you the power to be his witnesses. He's given you everything you need to accomplish whatever he's called you to do. And then it is that you should fulfill your ministry. This word fulfill gives the idea of bringing to completion with eagerness and wholeheartedness. The Living Bible says it this way: leave nothing undone that you ought to do. I love that. Leave nothing undone that you ought to do. I have so many things at home that should apply to. Leave nothing undone that you ought to do. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I'm being poured out. The Greek verb is literally used in connection with the drink offering that's in Genesis 35, 14. The drink offering that is in Genesis 35, 14. And it was commanded in Numbers to Israel and the Gentiles who lived among them. They gave burnt offerings of animals, grain offerings, and a drink offering. And that's Numbers 15, verses 1 through 10. You can read it on your own. If it wasn't in your homework, you can read it on your own and see what that was. Paul was most likely thinking of his imminent death as an offering in the service of Christians and their faith. His whole life was a sacrifice, Romans 12, 1. Romans 12, 1, that you present your body as a, present, you know what, I memorized that verse. I did. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service of worship. Paul knew what it was to give his life holy and completely. Holy and completely. His time was almost up here. Paul had a hope in death because of Jesus Christ. Paul was not afraid of death. Paul was not afraid of death. Paul was not afraid of death. You know, sometimes when we are afraid of death, it's just being afraid of the unknown. What's it going to be like? What's it going to, I don't understand. But we don't need to fear death, because we close our eyes here and we open our eyes in Jesus. Standing before Jesus, we open our eyes there. Why would I fear that? If I would stop and think about that for a moment, why would I fear that moment? Paul had a hope in death because of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I have kept the faith. Bottom line, Paul is saying that he lived his life to the fullest. Have you lived your life to the fullest for Christ? Living our life to the fullest for Christ. After he allowed the Lord to have control of his life, he went full steam ahead in the power of the Lord. He went full steam ahead in the power of the Holy Spirit. He moved on. He obeyed what God told him to do. He was so zealous for the Lord, and he knew the word. But what did he do before he went out preaching? What did he do? You know. Somebody tell me. What did he do? Well, he persecuted the Christians, and then he came to Christ, and then what did he do? He went out for 3 years to ready himself for what God had. He learned of God. He sat under someone that taught him what he was to do, what he was to say, how he, the truth of everything that he had already believed. They put truth to it. They put flesh to what he had already believed as a Jew. He took the time to be in the Word of God, which would be Old Testament, that he already knew, moving into Jesus Christ dying on the cross for him, having him become a reality. He knew that he had completely accomplished all that the Lord had called him to do. That was, and that's what he is telling Timothy to do when he said, fulfill your ministry, do it all, don't leave anything undone. Paul is waiting for his crown. We see that as we move on. Verse 8, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. I have a crown waiting for me. I don't know, you know, when I think about everyday stuff, I'm not comfortable in a crown. I don't wear hats. So I get a crown. Okay, so what does that mean? Is that a literal crown? I am crowned with righteousness. He is crowned with righteousness. We get to be in his presence. We are crowned with his righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me when? On that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Do you love his appearing? Do you love his appearing? Are you waiting for Jesus to come to just deliver you out of COVID? Are you waiting for Jesus to come to just deliver you out of quarantine? Are you wanting to see Jesus just to deliver you out of the fact that you have no more money coming in? Or do you love his appearing? Do you love his appearing? He said he's coming for those who love his appearing. Be diligent, verse 9, to come to me quickly. Be diligent to come to me quickly. Paul knew that his time was short. This was the final time of his life and his ministry, and he knew it. It's almost over. It's almost over. Even though he knew his time was short, he did appear to believe that he was going to see Timothy again. He seemed to believe that. But this was up to Timothy, and as he's writing this, we see that this was up to Timothy now to take everything that he had learned from Paul and to go with it. In the same way that Joshua learned from Moses, it was given over to Joshua after Moses. It was given unto Elijah after Elijah. Elisha was given it. Elijah was the one who gave it. Always get those two mixed up, and as Timothy now must follow Paul. So everything that Paul had, he poured into Timothy, and Timothy would pour that into other, remember, faithful men, faithful people who would share it, faithful people who would grow. And so, for Demas, be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. It doesn't sound like it was a fun departing. Was he sent away? I don't know if he was sent away, but he went to Thessalonica because he did not finish well. I want to finish well. Demas did not finish well. You can read his story, Colossians 4, 14, and Philemon 24. One chapter in Philemon, and the verse is 24. Crescens for Galatia. We don't know anything about Crescens. Titus for Dalmatia. And Titus is the next page in your Bible, no doubt. You have read it before. And so that he went on to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you. Remember Mark? Precious little Mark. Precious little Mark, who couldn't stand when it was hard. He was immature. He was young. He was fearful, and he ran. And it caused a split in the church between Paul and his friend. And so they went one direction, and Paul and his people went the other direction. And what did it do? When that split came, it caused the gospel to go this way and this way, not in just one direction. So God uses it all. He uses it all. You think that you're in a situation that is never going to get better. God uses it all. He uses it all to his gospel. For he is useful to me for the ministry. And Tychicus, I have sent to Ephesus. Tychicus carried letters from Paul in the past to other churches in Ephesians 6, 21 and 22, in Colossians 4, 7 and 8, in Titus 3, 12. And he's probably the one who's taking this letter, who has delivered this letter to Paul, or to Timothy as it's time. We don't know anything about Carpus or why he left his cloak there at Troas. When you come, bring that to me. And the books, especially the parchments. What are these books? What is this parchment? This is the word of God. This is the written word of God. Bring me the letters. Bring me the books. Bring me the leather-bound books he's talking about. The books that had a hard cover on it. Bring those into me. Because I need the word. We need the word. Paul needed the word of God. I need the word of God. You need the word of God. We have the written word. For as long as we have the written word, use it. Use it. Memorize it. Put it in your heart. And I know that you are just sick and tired of hearing me say that. Do it. I'll stop saying it if you'll start doing it. No. That's what we tell our kids, right? And going into the, if we go into all of, well, we won't do that right now. So, and so the books are the word of God. The books are the word of God that are to come there. And then in verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. May the Lord repay him according to his works. There is a wage for everything. There's a wage for everything. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. May he repay him according to his works. I venture to say, I think I just want to believe this. I want to believe that Alexander saw the truth and he was repaid for his works, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I want to believe that he repented of what he had done to Paul, because it says you also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. He has resisted the truth. And I am praying that Alexander, maybe Paul is saying, and this is just because I want to believe this. This is not, I just want to believe this. And if you want to believe this, I'm just throwing it out there. I want to believe that Alexander got paid his wages for having turned his life over to Christ and believing the truth. May he gather those wages. So be wary of him at any rate. He resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. Verse 16, may it not be charged against them. I was all alone, but I was never alone. Because Jesus said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. In those moments when you feel all alone, that there's nobody, there's nothing, there isn't anything, God is there. And I pray that you would feel his presence like a hand that's on your shoulder in those times of loneliness, that you would know that comfort. May it not be charged against them. Verse 17, but the Lord, everybody left, but the Lord never left. The Lord stood with me and he strengthened me so that the message may be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. And also I was delivered out of the mouth of lions. But that's very interesting, what being delivered out of the mouth of lions, out of the lion. It could be that he was saying that he was delivered from Nero. But here he is in prison right now and under Nero. So I'm not so sure that he was delivered from Nero. He is often referred to as the New Testament Daniel. Because of that possibility that he may have been thrown to the lions as well, and the lions just weren't hungry that day. So no matter what our situation is, no matter how it looks, God is able to deliver us out of or through. Out of or through. God is able to deliver us out of or through. Noah went through the trial. Some were taken out of the trial. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. And then he goes into, where does the glory belong? To him be glory, to him be honor, to him be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen means so be it. This is it, so be it. That's what it is. And so, well, they are to greet Priscilla and Aquila. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. We know them from Romans 16:3, Romans 18:26, 1 Corinthians 16:19. They were the ones who explained to so many the truth and ministered for Christ. Onesiphorus, we talked about last week, I think it was, that, or it was in chapter 1, actually, verses 16 and 18. We can read about Trophimus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Whoa, what? Weren't people healed when your handkerchief was used? Or how come you left him there sick? How come he wasn't healed? I don't know. It's just proof that he was left in that place because that was the place that he had to be at. And if he hadn't been sick, he wouldn't have stayed. God uses it all. He uses all of our situations. He puts us in places that we're supposed to be when we're supposed to be there. And I don't know about you, but I have had God more than once put me in a place because I couldn't get out of the place. Because that's where I was supposed to be. Because if I could have gotten out of the place, I would have left. You know what I'm saying? Anybody else? Just me? Nobody else? Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you. I feel so much better about myself. Ooh, thought I was going to. Yeah. So we can read about Trophimus in Acts 20, verses 1 through 6, and Acts 21, 29. And Eubulus, Pudens, Linus, and Claudia are unknown to us, except they must be faithful servants of the Lord. And so as we close this up, do your utmost to come to me before winter. Come to me as soon as you can. My time is short. And then in verse 22, he says to Timothy and he says to us, the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And I say to you, the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And God's riches at Christ's expense be with you. Grace be with you. God's riches at Christ's expense. I have to remember that. I stand here today because of the grace of God. I stand here today because God's riches came to me at Christ's expense. And we want to move forward. We want to grow. We want to be with the Lord. God has great things planned for you guys. He has great things planned for you in the next, what's it going to be, a month's time before we get together again, the 6 weeks? When do we start up? 15th or the 19th, January 15th or the 19th. So it's 2 months. 2 months from today. So next study, when we get together in January, we're going to be going through Micah and Nahum. And I'm excited about this study. I'm excited for what God has us. And, you know, at the same time, I look at those two books and I go, oh, buckle up, honey. Buckle up, because God's going to show us great things, great and marvelous things. And we are going to be warring, and we're going to be going before the Lord, and we're going to pray like we've never prayed before. And God wants us to do that even now, to pray like we have never prayed before. God wants to use every one of us. He wants to use every one of you guys to preach the word, share the word with people wherever you go. Now, next week, the question is next week. We're supposed to get together next week. We will get together next week at the regular time. And because there's been a change in plans, I'm going to see what the Lord's going to do with next week. So, Lord Jesus, I thank you for these precious ladies. I thank you, Father, for their heart for you. I thank you, God, that you have worked in their hearts, that you have grown them up. And I thank you, Lord, for all the distractions. It just reminds me, Lord, of you saying, just look at me. Just look at me. Don't pay attention to the things that are going on around you. Just look at me. Look in my eyes, look at me. And Jesus says to us right now, look at me. Keep your eyes set on me. There are going to be things that are going to come and you're not going to understand it. You're going to wonder why you're in the midst of it. And God wants you to look at him. Look in my eyes, keep your eyes on me. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would continue to strengthen us by the power of your word, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to be witnesses of you, not witnesses of anything else, but witnesses of you. And Lord, that our hearts would be so given to you, so turned over to you, Lord. Father, that people would see us and they would see you at the same time. Thank you for privileges that we have of going into grocery stores and speaking with people. Opportunities all over the place for us to befriend and laugh and cry with people and care for them. Lord, we do stand against this disease, this virus, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father, that you would completely annihilate it. And I'm reminded of the scripture of no weapon formed against you will prosper. So Lord, I pray for those that are sick with it. We pray for their recovery. We pray for an intimate time with you during their recovery. And Father, that you would draw all men to you. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this heart-to-heart women's Bible study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the heart-to-heart women's ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Giving up, letting go.